make sure this is on. We thank God that He's blessed us. He's given us another week. Isn't that something just to be grateful for in this time when we have so much sickness, so much disease, so many people dealing with issues? God smiled on us. He loved us enough to say, you know what? There's more work for you to do. And so thank God we are all here today. We praise Him for that. And I thank God also for the blessing that I am seeing in our worship. You know, thank God for Brother Chris and for the gift that he uses in ushering us into the presence of the Lord. You know, as we listen to songs, what it does, it helps us to remember what God has done for us. It's helping us to remember what God wants to do for us and what He wants to do through us. So today is a wonderful day to reflect on that, and we thank God for that today. We will be in John 6 today. So everyone, if you will, just turn in your Bibles to John 6. We'll start at verse number 9. And I'll give you a moment just to get there. Amen. And what it says, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they amongst so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them which were set down, and likewise of the fishes as many as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remained, that nothing be lost. And verse 13 says, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I'd like to speak today from the topic, he's looking for your gift. Again, he's looking for your gift. Dear Father, we just come to you today. We honor you. We thank you, dear Lord, for how you love us, how you bless us every Sunday just to meet you here, to hear more of your word that helps us to know the direction in which we are to live our lives and the way that you want us to go and the ways that you are leading us. Now, Father, today, as we are here, I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, just bless everyone that is here. Bless me also and help me to teach the word and to preach the word the way that you gave it to me. We thank you for that in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He is looking for your gift. As we look at this story now, one of the things that I want you all to remember is that this was at a time of Passover. It says early in the scripture that this was at the time of the feast, and this was Passover. And you have to understand, if you look in the Gospel of Matthew, that this was a time also that John the Baptist was beheaded. And so if you place yourself in the mindset of the people in and around Galilee, you'll notice that there is a sadness. You know, can you imagine that you have this prophet that you have, that you've heard preach and teach in addition to hearing Jesus, the Messiah, and suddenly he's not here. Suddenly he's been beheaded, and now the area is in an uproar. But guess what? There still was hope, because the Messiah, the one that John was preaching about, the one that John was teaching about, was still there. And so the scripture says that Jesus went into a desert place. Can you imagine what he dealt with at that time, knowing that John was his predecessor and that John had really paved the way, had cleared the way for him according to the word of the prophets? And now he's gone. And so often Jesus would actually go off by himself just to speak with his Father, just to pray. I'm sure at those times his Father would encourage him and remind him of the assignment that he was given. But it also allowed Jesus to rest. You know, there are times when we find ourselves in crisis or we find ourselves with weights, heavy weights on us that we just have to go away. We have to go away with God and we have to seek his face. And so it was no different for Christ at this time. But how many of you know that when there is a crisis, when there is a time that we really need him most, we're going to make time for him and we're going to find him. It doesn't matter how busy our lives are. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. When we need an answer, we're going to make time for God. We're going to make time. We're going to find him. We're going to go to the place where we last saw him to get those answers. And so that's what happened here in the story. In this particular story, Jesus has taught them. The scripture says he has also performed numerous miracles. And at the end of this time, scripture says that he spoke to Philip and he just said, Philip, y'all need to feed these folks. They need to eat. And scripture said, Philip said, Lord, and it's paraphrased, we're talking about denarii. If we had 200 denarii, we still wouldn't have enough. Now, this Greek word denarii pence, as it was spoken, it was about 7 months' salary. 7 months. So basically what Philip said is, if I were a common person working in this very area, it would take me 7 months to feed all the people that we see here. And Jesus, the scripture said, he already had the answer. But isn't it funny that God said he just wanted to test Philip? We should take a little bit of encouragement from that. When we're faced with an issue, when we're faced with a problem, and we're praying to God and we're saying, Lord, what am I to do? And God says, what are we going to do? He'll look at us and he'll say, you're in crisis right now. What are we going to do? What have I given you? What have I instilled in you? What things have I brought you through in the past that now I'm really looking to you for an answer? Isn't that amazing that God would look to us for an answer? And it's justified. He's done so much for us. You know, the things that God has brought us through and the things that God has taken us through should cause us to have a level of maturity in him. You know, it should not cause us to panic. But in the scripture here, we can see that Philip basically said, I don't know. I don't have the answer. And no doubt Jesus probably just kind of smiled and he went on with what he wanted to do that particular day. I wanted to point out something for you today, just for you to consider. In thinking about this topic, he's looking for your gift. I want you to think about the fact that there were 5,000, according to scripture, men. 5,000 men. And Jesus told them to sit down. But there was still an issue. There was still a need. And Jesus didn't look to the 5,000 men to answer the need. He didn't look to them. He looked to the children. And amongst the children, he found one little boy. The disciples found one little boy. So my prayer was, Lord, when you're looking for an answer, why did you go to the child? Why didn't you go to the men and say, hey, guys, I'm sure we can get a boat. Let's go out and start fishing. I'm sure if you throw it on the right side of the boat, we'll have more than enough. Why didn't he do that? Why did he instead tell the men to sit down and to look to the children, and amongst the children found one little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? It's because of the level of faith. Christ Jesus was looking for faith. He wasn't looking for works. He was looking for faith like a child. That's what we are hearing today from this particular passage of Scripture. He's looking for your gift of faith. This was a crisis that they were going through. There were a lot of people that were there, not just men, 5,000 men, but also women and children as well. But amongst the entire group, all he wanted was childlike faith. You know, if we look at our own situation as a church right now, God's looking for our faith. He's looking for us to be confident that he can take something as small as our continued, consistent trust in him to lead us and to guide us and to tell us what to do. And that we're willing to say, God, you've brought us this far. We're not going to doubt you now. We're not at this point where we need you most and we need your wisdom and we need your guidance. We're just not going to doubt you now. So if you're looking for faith, childlike faith, that faith that believes that if I give him these five loaves and these two fishes, the master is asking for it, I can't wait to see what he's going to do. Can you imagine the joy that Jesus felt in seeing the faith of this little boy? So he's looking for the gift. And the gift is the gift of faith. It's that thing that he has given us because he says that he gives us a measure of faith. It's that thing he's already given us that he wants us to extend to him. Now, I also wanted to bring something up that I think is worth conversation. This was a child's meal. This wasn't an adult meal. The scripture says this was a little boy. In some versions, it says his lunch. So can you imagine that Jesus would feed all of Thomasville with a happy meal? That's what we're looking at. Now, if you really want to be serious, you can take in Archdale, Trinity, Lexington, Randleman with a happy meal. That puts it in perspective. When you think about the number of people, 5,000 being men, you know, maybe all of them weren't married. Let's just say half of them, you know, 2,500. You do the math. They had two kids. You're still looking at about 20,000. You know, he did that with a happy meal. What should that do for us? How should that encourage us today? It lets us know he's not looking for something big. He is already the one that can take something small and make it big. He just wants us to walk and to trust. He wants us to walk to him with pure faith to say, this is something that needs to be done. This is a miracle that needs to occur. There is some direction here that we need to go in this time of crisis, and we're going to believe in you. And so now we're seeing that our resources, we have to not look at our own resources, but instead we should look at what God is wanting to do. We have this habit of belittling the resource that God has placed on the inside of us and not realizing to him it's more than enough. When Jesus saw those five loaves and those two fishes, he said, this will be enough. Now, the disciples had been around him enough to know, oh, something big is getting ready to happen. Everybody sit down, watch this. He's getting ready to do something amazing. They knew of his power. They knew of his authority. The people, they had become accustomed to it. And I'm sure there was a level of anticipation there as well. What should we feel in our daily lives? What should we feel when we don't have a lot? We should feel anticipation. We should feel confident that the same God that has come through in so many situations is going to do something remarkable, something to blow our mind, something to absolutely cause us to go into a state of rejoicing for him because he's done it before. And so now we can see that in this particular scripture, Philip was rational. Philip said, we ain't got enough, Lord. Just want you to know. But in the midst of this, there still was the answer. So what we can take from that is the answer is always there. The answer is in each one of our gifts, each level of faith that we have, each level of praise that we have, each testimony of the goodness of the Lord, it's there. The answer was in the midst of them. And so now we are looking to God, and God is looking to us. And let me explain. We're looking to Him, but then He's looking to us. He's saying, what are you going to do with what I've already given you? Think about that for a minute. What are you going to do with what I've already given you? He had already provided the two fish and the five loaves. He's like, what are you going to do with what I've already given to you? And they brought it to Him. And so now, as we look at the fact that we are dealing with the faith of a child, then God could ask us, what are you going to do with your mounting, moving faith? That faith that moves mountains, talked about in Matthew 17 and 20. It says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing shall be impossible to you. The answers that we need are possible through God. The direction that we need is possible through God. The growth that we need is possible through God. The evangelism that causes us to continue to reach up and to reach out and to reach in is still possible through God. He is looking for a response. If you remember last week, we talked about call and response. So we say, Lord, lead us. He says, I'm already leading. We say, Lord, provide a way. He says, I've already provided the way. We say, Lord, do something for us. He said, I'm already doing it. I just need your faith to believe it and to walk into it. As we are thinking about our mission of reaching up, and reaching in and reaching out, then the question sometimes that arises is why? Why do we reach up? Why do we continue to seek Him? Why do we continue to pray to Him? Why do we continue to believe Him? Why are we reaching in? Why do we strengthen the ties that bind our hearts in Christian love? Why do we continue to strengthen our oneness and our unity as a church? As we reach out, why do we continue to reach out to the people that we meet on a daily basis? Why the effort? And the answer is, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1b, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It's because there's a judgment, a great judgment that will occur. And on that day, Jesus will stand for each one of us. And He will say, I have paid the price, Father. Let them pass. For every one of us, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our past, His blood has washed our sins away. And because His blood has washed our sins away, we are compelled to reach up and to serve that God that cleansed us and that found a way through His Son to make things right. We are compelled to reach in and to show each other the love of Christ Jesus as we are a church body and truly a family. We are compelled to reach out and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because everybody doesn't know that there is another way. Everybody doesn't know that Jesus Christ has already said, I want to make this right for you. That's why we continue to do that. And because Moses had the same question from Israel. God is going through the camp of Israel, and he is looking for something. He's looking for faith. He's looking for worship. He's looking for love from his people. And in Deuteronomy 10 and 12, Moses said, "And now, O Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." And so now, as he is looking to us, he's looking for that. He's looking to that for that faithfulness and that loyalty. And he is looking to us to believe and to trust him in our day the way the disciples believed and trusted him in their day. The way that that young child believed and trusted him when he gave away his last. You know, sometimes God tests us. He tests us just to see, are you willing to give it away? Are you willing to make a sacrifice just because I said to? Are you willing to pray for that person just because I told you to? Are you willing to extend love and kindness in the face of disrespect and disregard just because I told you to? Just because I live in you and I need for my grace and my mercy to be extended. You know, the lesson that we learn from this little boy, he had no idea, he had no inkling of what God was going to do with his little sacrifice. With his little meal, he had no idea that God was going to feed all the people in the area. We don't know what God will do. But what we do know is that if we're willing to give it away, if we're willing to give away our love and our patience and our forgiveness. Oh, let's talk about forgiveness for a second. Let's talk about how we should be loving and forgiving. Let's talk about how sometimes we need to go back to our Christian values, our Christian foundation. Let's talk about sometimes how we need to let God revive that love that we had for him when we first met him. And when we are equipped to have a gift that he's looking for, to be willing to just give it away. That's what that young man did. That's what he did. He gave away his last so that God could work a miracle. Today, this scripture is a reminder that he calls on us to give away our last. There is a term that's called being all in. You know, one of the ways that we can really reference that is in marriage. You know, marriage is not always easy. For those married folks, I'm going to raise my hand. Marriage is not always easy. It's a commitment. It is a covenant. I'm not always going to like you. And you're not always going to like me. But it's the covenant that you say I'm all in. Well, scripture says we're the bride. He's the bridegroom. Looked like he went all in. He gave his life. He allowed himself to be crucified for us. Now he's looking to us to be all in as well. Are we willing to walk the walk of Jesus Christ? Are we willing to walk in his ways and to be holy and to be upright and to uphold a standard that says, I love Christ Jesus? That's what this says today. The lesson of the fishes and loaves is nothing more than for us to draw on the fact that God is looking for a gift from each one of us. And my prayer today is that as we see what this young man did, that we'll just follow his example and walk in that same way as well.